Okay, so you were in LA for 8 months, and I was in Seattle.
Yeah.
Then I came down to LA, and you left and
Yes,
drove cross
because you were
country.
coming down.
You're like, we got to get out of here.
We were totally set up in LA and we're just like, okay, this is fine. Everything's going great. And then you said you were coming and we said, pack our bags. We got to get out of here before John shows up. The last thing I want to do is take this digital online relationship to the next level.
But it's been 2 weeks, so you missed me, right?
No, for sure.
No, it's it feels like there's this longing to talk about baseball.
Absolutely.
Because
My
when
wife
I
doesn't like talking about baseball, so.
mine doesn't either.
Yeah.
She'll occasionally she go, gets into going to the games because it's an
Yeah.
event and has fun
Yeah.
when we're there, but talk about baseball. But although
Yeah.
she was kind of tuned into the whole Robinson Cano and PED thing.
Yeah, I think that sort of transcends just baseball, though. But when
Yeah.
I just want to talk about baseball, I want to talk about how players are performing and how teams are overperforming or underperforming and what's a fluke and what's, yeah.
And you like to go 10 deep into the prospect list for
Yes,
each
I do
team.
like going into the prospects.
So this is Fall Territory, episode 66. This is the Yasiel Puig episode.
Nice.
I'm John Sumpnell. I can't even say my name right. I'm John Sumpel. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And we're going to talk, kind of dive in. You know what we haven't talked about in a few weeks?
Licorice?
Delicious Snapple.
Let me tell you right now, John, the first thing I bought when I arrived in New York City, delicious Snapple.
Peach flavored.
Absolutely. Peach iced tea, perfect. And a shout out to my friends at D'Agostino's on
Oh,
10th. Yeah.
nice.
Yeah, so yeah, I went in there to buy a bunch of just like, paper towels, trash bags, just, stuff to make sure that we were, equipped in our apartment. And of course, the first thing, peach iced tea Snapple.
A little light shine down on
Yeah,
it, a little music
it
from
was,
heaven.
and it was delicious, John.
I'll bet it was. Moist delicious.
And then I went across the street to United Market and got my
Your
ham and
Sammy.
turkey provolone sandwich.
Nice.
It was fantastic.
Welcome back to New York City.
Yeah, it was perfect. And the perfect weather when we got back. Perfect weather.
So the garbage doesn't stink yet?
Well, here's the thing. It was a little stinky, but the next day a rain came through and just kind of
Oh,
cleaned up all the
cleaned it all
urine,
up. Yeah.
all the garbage, just gave it a wash, right? But we didn't arrive in the rain, and we appreciated that because we'd
Oh,
been fighting
man.
the rain on the drive across country.
So you avoided the washout rain in New York, the
Yeah.
wash down, the
And we
scrubbing.
sort of stayed in for most of the day while it was raining. Isn't there a Duran Duran song called, I think it's called
Pray.
Who'll Stop the
Yeah,
Rain?
who'll stop the rain? Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Oh yeah, now
Completely
you're just bringing me
unnecessary.
way back to my
Yeah.
college
So I
days.
apologize to all the listeners too, who just got zapped back to the past.
Wow, shoo! I need to recover from that. I'm getting hot flashes. Wow, yeah, the hairstyles, the
Yeah.
T-shirts, yeah, they were the
Yeah.
precursor to the Miami Vice style, Duran Duran, and I think
Yeah, they're
that,
very much a part of that whole
yeah, that whole white
cultural phenomenon.
pants, pink
Yeah.
shirts, yeah,
Yeah, linen.
linen was
Yeah.
big.
Big time linen.
I remember those days. Linen, I could never figure linen out because you don't want to iron it, but you can't like fold it, you can't do anything with it or it looks schlumpy. So I'm an
Yeah.
anti-linen kind of guy.
Yeah, linen makes me sweat. I
Yeah.
sweat a lot generally, but linen makes me really sweat. So it's like, it's just not an option.
It's not part of your wardrobe.
No.
No, me neither. No
No, I
linen
have
in
to be
my
very
closet.
careful. I need stuff that breathes, but that also doesn't make me warm, get warm. Linen's pretty breathable, but it gets me warm.
Yeah, it is.
And not in the good way, listeners.
Does that wrap up this week in fashion tips?
Yes.
We should get into some headlines.
Let's do it. Let's talk about
Because
some
it's been a
baseball.
while. It's been 2 weeks since we've talked about some baseball.
A lot of stories.
So the first one I mentioned already, Robinson Cano. No one saw that coming.
Right.
It's funny
Right.
too, because you kind of we got lulled for a while. Into the sense of, okay, that era is over. you had a couple of smaller players, and you kind of get it with these players that are trying to come up through the ranks and or just broke in and bouncing back and forth because they're looking for that edge. But when you see a high caliber all-star player that's been around for, you know, 10 plus years, it kind of a head scratcher at this point.
Well, there's a lot to this one, right? Because he wasn't actually busted for the substance. He was busted for the masking agent.
Correct.
But that just proves that these guys are still doing it and they're just being more clever about masking it.
Right. And we just had another one today. Or not today or yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Wellington Castillo. Yeah, that's the guy whose nickname is Beef, right?
Yeah.
Beef Wellington. He's a guy who, when he was with the Mariners, hit like crap. And then all of a sudden went to the Diamondbacks, and well, lo and behold, he could suddenly hit home runs and hit da-da-da-da. And
pre-Humidor, Arizona.
Boy, no one's hitting home runs there now, but yeah. And then out of nowhere, the guy all of a sudden was hitting for power, and I guess not quite as out of nowhere as it turned out.
Well, what's interesting, though, is that the Mariners, I think, have only lost once since the suspension, and they've been winning. And they've been winning these, like, one run against the A's, albeit.
Yeah, well, grain of salt.
Yeah, but there's
grain of steroids.
Yeah, but the Mariners are, they're in contention. They're a playoff team as of right now.
I mean, they're a good team, right? But they're just not, they just don't have enough.
They don't
and
have
you,
enough.
You lose Cano basically for 80 games and the playoffs. And
well, they've just been decimated, though. Cano layoff. Cruz has been battling with a sore elbow. Yeah. He's been missing games. D. Gordon just hurt his toe, fractured his toe. Speaking of steroids.
Yeah, he broke his toe.
So him and
you got
Mitch
Nelson
Haniger.
Cruz, D. Gordon, and Robinson Cano at the top of the Mariners lineup. Like,
and
okay, steroids.
And Haniger's, and Haniger's got some issues too. So they're still winning, and they don't have
but
enough
they
pitching.
Are still winning.
That's their issue. But it'll be interesting to see what DePoto does as we approach the trade deadline.
Well, he has nothing to trade.
Nothing at all.
I mean, there's no Kyle assets. Lewis, I guess. I mean, yeah, but is that really an asset worth that anyone? I guess someone would want him.
Yeah, there's not. It's not a very deep.
The cupboards are bare.
Yeah,
cupboards are bare. It's unfortunate.
And their agent.
You know he wants to too. Like
that's his thing.
Yeah,
that's how he survives.
Come on! I got a couple of flame throwing right handers in the rookie ball. Don't you want those? Come on, baby. Come on, just one more hit. That's all I need. Just one more fix.
Please.
This is the last one. I swear.
He's got potential.
He's got potential. You go, come on, we would keep him around, but we can't. We got to go right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah,
That's my
impression of Jerry DePoto, ladies.
It does
and gentlemen.
Sound a lot like him.
Yeah,
that Jerry-esque voice.
Yeah.
So I want to jump ahead a little bit because we did just mention the Humidor and the Diamondbacks. So we'll scoot back a little bit. But the Diamondbacks losing 13-14.
Oof.
A lot of injuries there, too. But the Humidor has had an impact.
Yeah. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt.
He can't hit anymore. Apparently, he's forgot how.
It's so weird. The thing is, he's striking out a lot.
Yeah.
Which, the Humidor shouldn't affect that.
No. He's sleeping in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, that's
very strange.
Yeah, I don't know how a team could be, really flip it so quickly like that and be bad.
They were so good to start the season.
Yeah. I mean, they're hitting like .215. Their team batting average, other than I think there's one player that's actually performing, but their team batting average is like .215.
Well, Pollock was doing well before he got injured.
He got hurt, yeah. Tons of injuries there, too. Pitching, for some reason, isn't as good as it was. But the bats have just been asleep.
Well, didn't we make this joke that, like, once the Diamondbacks have to stop playing the Dodgers, then they're going to start losing some games.
Right, apparently.
I didn't mean 13 out of 14.
Well, it was interesting. I know about a month ago we were talking about, that string of seven games coming up with the Diamondbacks. And I think they wound up splitting, or the Diamondbacks, it was four games of three, the Diamondbacks. And so the Diamondbacks had a 9-game lead at that point. And the Dodgers, even though the Dodgers still weren't winning and lost 2 out of 3 to the Marlins, at one point, I'm pretty sure you noticed last week that they both had the same record. the Marlins and the Dodgers after the Marlins won the first two games. I was like, I can't believe this. I was hoping for the sweep just so I could send you a text and say, look who's got a better record than the Dodgers. But it didn't happen.
At the time, though, after that, the second loss to the Marlins, I think the Dodgers were on pace for 100 losses.
Unbelievable. It just does not make sense. Isn't that crazy? With that team, it does not make sense. Yeah. And then, boom. That's all they needed, I guess, was to – they're like, we just lost 2 of 3 to Don Mattingly's Marlins.
Oof.
Cannot let this happen. And then they won 2 series in a row, swept the Nationals.
Yeah, swept the Nationals.
And now they're back
in
business.
Who are having their own injury and underperformance problems. Yes,
yeah. And they're calling up their whole minor league system, apparently.
Okay, we can talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
Because, wow, they called up Juan Soto, 19-year-old.
19 years old.
Juan Soto, who our writer at the site, Randall Stevens.
Randall's prolific writer, too. He's pretty good.
Randall at our Foul Territory site, prolific prospects writer.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
He writes about a lot of the things that I'm interested in personally, but that I don't really like to write about.
And he's not as funny as you.
And I like to do more of funny stuff that's more of a...
Although in the last article, I think there was more of an effort to be a little more humorous.
We've been talking to some of the writers about trying to be lighter.
Did you have a long talk with him?
Yeah, I had a long talk with Randall, and it was by digital message.
Yeah,
and he came up with calling Juan Soto the Millennial Falcon.
That was awesome.
Juan Soto sounds so similar to Han Solo.
Right, it's a hashtag. It's just screaming.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I think it's gonna stick.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the 8 people that read that article are like
they're using it. Agree. You're gonna see it.
Like, it's the Millennial Falcon. Okay. Anyway, enough of the Randall Stevens update.
Thanks, Randall.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want the other writers to feel bad because we're not talking about them.
But we're not talking to them because they're doing such a good job. Randall just needs a little bit of a...
Exactly. This counts as a critique of Randall's work.
Right. Randall, we love you. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
So where were we? So we're still talking about the Soto. D-backs.
So they called up Juan Soto, 19-year-old guy who's injured last year. But this year, it's just been killing. He killed at single A, high A, double A. He's just killing everyone. So they're like, you know what? Let's just bring him up and see what happens. And he sort of like leapfrogged Victor Robles, who's also a top 5 prospect in baseball, but who injured himself diving for a catch earlier this year. But the Nationals have been just decimated with injuries. Mm-hmm. And they've got Mark Reynolds out there. They've got Matt Adams. Now they brought up Juan Soto, which is fine. Like a team like the Nationals don't care about we brought him up to whatever. He either hits and they send him and they keep him or they send him back down. So, yeah. But they're hanging in there. They're just a couple games out of first.
And when you think about it too, they're hanging in there against the Braves and the Phillies, which is it's like really. And you think about that division; they should be feasting on everybody in that division. So they should win 90 games. Just because of the division that they're in. Although the Braves have been a huge surprise. The Phillies, not so much of a huge surprise, but
they've been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, they're about a year or two ahead of schedule, I would say, Phillies. The Braves are 2-3 years ahead of schedule than what I think anybody was anticipating, especially because of the, Ozzy Albies, what he's done. It's not stopping. It seems to be real. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm more about the future than currently as far as fantasy baseball is concerned.
You're one nugget on your fantasy baseball team.
The only untradeable asset on my team right now.
I mean, he's basically untradeable too, right, on your team? Like, you would have to get back something.
Oh, huge haul.
Because you have him at such a low price.
Yeah.
You can basically... If he keeps this up, you could probably keep him for 5 or 6 or 7 years at very affordable costs. Almost untradeable
player. Yeah. So the Dodgers, we were talking about the Nationals and the Dodgers. The Dodgers back on the beam.
I mean, they're just 4 games out, something like that, 3.5 games out.
And they're thankful that the D-backs imploded. Because even though they've been kind of like putzing along, they just had a little bit of a streak here, and now they're... I mean, 4 games is a lot different than 9 because you're thinking like at 9, you're like, boy, if they get down to like 12, 13 behind, that's going to be a steep hill to climb.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's just, like we've talked about so many times, it's the ebb and flow. The good teams rise to the top, just like your team in fantasy baseball.
Yes.
So you're just kind of like, you're just kind of like waiting and waiting. Doug thinks it's luck. It's not luck.
Doug sent me a message saying it's luck.
It's the law of averages. When you have good players, the good players rise, you know, it's just going to happen. And
But it is funny that for 2 years in a row that it's been like, I've had this stacked team, but for the first month, it's like, hey guys.
But it doesn't that reflect baseball though, to a certain extent?
No, it's just, to me, that's just a baseball thing. Like that's why I first month, you didn't see me making any trades or anything like that. Like, my team will wind up in first place.
Well, Sean Manaea.
Well, that was a trade before the season started.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And yes, obviously that was a bad trade, but I'm loaded with starting pitching, so I gave away
a small piece.
It doesn't hurt every time I see him pitch.
No.
It does.
So one of the great stories of the week, you're talking about how bad the D-backs have been, is Clay Buchholz.
Yes.
The reclamation project of all reclamation projects.
He pitched okay.
Yeah, but he I mean, he hasn't pitched in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
At the major league level? Or if he did last year.
Maybe throw him in the National League, maybe pitch him only five innings, only a couple times through the lineup. Maybe he's okay pitcher.
Maybe he's okay, yeah.
But that's how bad things are for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, they're grasping at straws. When
they've got Clay Buchholz coming out.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe he's going to be the catalyst that turns everything or not.
For the Nationals, it's Juan Soto, the hot prospect, hot 19-year-old prospect.
Right.
For the Diamondbacks, it's Clay Buchholz. Don't they? They have a really good starting pitcher. Diamondbacks have a really good starting pitcher. What's his name? Duplantier. Yeah, Duplantier, just looking up his numbers here. 30 innings pitched, 2.39 ERA, 1.1 whip.
Nice.
11 Ks per nine, 11 strikeouts per nine innings pitched.
Nice.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow, you know who's dynamite right now is Chris Paddock. Have you ever heard of this guy?
No.
Chris Paddock. I might got to go snatch
him. Where's Duplantier playing?
Double A.
Okay.
Double A. But Chris Paddock for the Padres, 21 innings pitched, no earned runs, 0.57 whip.
Oof.
36 strikeouts in 21 innings.
Where's? Let me hold up, taking notes here.
I got to look this guy up here. Chris Paddock.
He wasn't on your radar.
No, he was not on my radar.
Probably not on very many radars if, with those kind of numbers, he's all of a sudden on radars.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Now, what were we talking about?
That tells you why the Padres went out and got Hosmer, because they knew they were going to be competitive in 3 years.
Is that right?
Okay, let's keep going on. So probably the biggest story of the week. If you know, Cano's suspension doesn't seem like it was a big deal, actually, to be honest with you. It was kind of a jolt.
Yeah.
But it was kind of not a surprise, since he was, you know, associated with, you know, Alex Rodriguez era at the Yankees and kind of got some tips there.
I think Jackie wrote about it on the site. Mm-hmm. Our Yankee correspondent.
Yes. Yankee fan.
And she mentioned that he was actually tied to the Biogenesis mm-hmm. folks.
Mm-hmm.
Not directly, but sort of indirectly, in a way that was like, that's pretty direct.
But, you know, reading his, it wasn't really an official apology, but his statement was that he's saying that I was prescribed medication. So he's basically saying, I made a mistake, you know, going the path that I went, which mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. it just reeks of foul play.
I took a medication, then I accidentally took a masking agent for that medication. Right. Oops. I was worried they would find out, and instead of coming clean, I was like, you know what? I'll make it seem like I'm taking steroids.
It sounded like he tested negative back in January. So he's known about it. It's been percolating. Yeah. There was awareness that this was coming down the pike. So, yeah, it kind of sucks for Mariners fans, because they were kind of pumped up for – and I wasn't here when that news broke, so I don't know kind of what the reaction was locally. But you know, they're winning without him, so everybody seems to be okay so far.
Yeah.
So the biggest story of the week, the legalized betting. I think that's a pretty big deal.
Yes.
It feels. Now, I feel like I need to take a shower after reading about this, because it feels a little dirty to me.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, John. if you want to bet on sports, you go on the internet and you bet on sports.
Do it anyway. It's already there. This is like, let's put it out in the front, which is going to make it even a little bit more seedier, I think. It's almost like it just doesn't feel right.
I mean, it's a little bit like the weed thing, right?
Like, right.
If people are going to do it, then let's at least tax it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to, you know, the states will make money. A state that decides to legalize sports betting, which they all states are now allowed to do, according to the Supreme Court.
And it was a 6-3. It wasn't even close, was it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Something like that.
It wasn't like, oh, if it wasn't for Trump and Neil Gorsuch.
Right. It's all about the money.
Was that the judge that they tried to get in that the Republicans blocked? Garland?
His name? Garland.
Merrick Garland. What his opinion was on this?
Yeah. What a swing vote.
Well, political and Supreme Courtular humor. Is that a word? Courtular?
Yeah. All right. Courtular? It is now.
Okay.
It's in the lexicon.
But yeah, it's a big deal. I wonder. I mean, I know. What's it called? Atlantic City was super into this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they want to, because of course you could in Nevada, you could do it because when they made it illegal, it was legal there, and so they were like, okay, well you can keep doing it, and for whatever reason.
Well, in Vegas, the sports book areas of these casinos are massive.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
you don't have to tell me, John. I've been there. Okay.
I've been there. Okay.
I have placed a wager or two.
Biggest bet you've ever
on the internet.
What's the biggest bet you've ever wagered?
I would say the biggest amount I put was $200.
And did you win?
Yes, I did.
Very nice.
Yes. It was a parlay.
Vous français?
It was a $180 parlay that I did.
Uh-huh.
And two of the three things came up and one of them pushed.
Nice.
And I almost had a heart attack following all of it and decided I would never do that again.
What was the sport?
Football.
Football.
Yeah. I used to do a lot of football betting because I was very good at it. But if you follow it really closely, you can kind of see like it becomes a lot less like gambling and more just like
patterns.
Yeah, patterns. You see the patterns, and I'm very mathematical, you know. So it's mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, so I think one season I won something like $6,000 or something like that.
So you're a professional gambler.
Well, it was something I was doing in addition to graphic design.
Okay.
But I reported all the income.
Uh-huh. Well, very
just
nice.
Just to be clear, that was not unreported. And then it was, but again, this was online and like it's weird because online the way you used to do it was you would buy betting units.
Right.
And then bet the units, and then you could sell the units for cash and then cash out.
Convert them, right.
Yeah. So, anyway, at an offshore run, anyway.
Right.
I hope no feds are listening to this. I hope they're all busy with the Mueller investigation and Trump and all that stuff.
Just don't mention your bank accounts in the Cayman Islands and they think we're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's see. Oh, Odubel Herrera's 45-game on-base streak. That's a pretty impressive streak.
Here's the thing. Sneaky good player, right?
Up and down player for sure. And no, but like up year this year.
Yeah, up year. But like overall, wins above replacement. Like this is a good player, and they locked him up to a long-term deal. I think last year he was a little down because he had a little bit of that. Like he got his deal, so I was going to – I don't want to – you know, I want to earn it. And then like, well, now you're trying too hard and you're – But on base and hits and good defense in center field, and I think he's sort of overlooked at the Phillies' future plans, the Phillies' future fun fanaticism.
Nice alliteration.
Because you had Nick Williams, you have Aaron Althur, Hoskins, right? Isn't Hoskins?
Yeah, Reese Hoskins.
Who they moved to the outfield so that they could get Carlos Santana and his 175 batting average.
Good call.
Wow. I traded him in another league, and mercifully, the other guy was like, no, I really believe in him. And I was like, well, good for you. You can have him. And I wound up getting no one cares about my fantasy baseball trades. Anyway, I wound up getting, for Bellinger and Santana, I got Chris Sale and Eugenio Suarez.
Nice. That's a plus.
It was a nice return.
Yeah.
It's a nice return.
Well, he still believes in Odubel, so.
And Odubel's great. Like, that is, I mean, I should say he's great, right? Because he's like, he's very good. But I think a very good player in this day and age gets underrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think some of it is that people are like, is it just, you know, a streak and he'll come back to the mean? But he's been good before. 2 years ago, he was, yeah, 2.5
Also, 45 games is a lot of games.
That's a lot of games. Yeah. It's a long streak.
That's longer than any streak I've ever had with on-base percentage.
is there a record? What's the number of games for the record?
I don't know.
You have any idea?
I don't think they really... They must have it, but no one cares, because all they care about is the 55 games, right?
Right. Or
56. DiMaggio.
Yeah.
56.
Yeah. That's the only one. That's the record that will never be broken.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not with all the strikeouts and the walking that people do now.
No. No. So, Rich Hill... We were talking about the Dodgers a little bit before.
Yes.
So he's always had these problems with the blisters.
Blisters.
And now, is that legal to pitch with taped fingers?
Well, he has been pitching, practicing with tape on his fingers now. Because mm-hmm. The last start he went out, he threw two pitches and the blister came back. So I assume it was coming back like while he was warming up. It would seem odd that it just took two pitches for it to actually show up. But, yeah, so the blister came back, so he's trying to get permission to pitch with actual tape on his fingers, which technically you're not allowed to. But, like, oh, okay, so I can have pine tar on my pants and wipe that onto the ball, and like all the Astros pitchers do.
Right.
Just get it, allegedly, right?
Right, because those numbers are so good this year.
Have you seen Verlander's numbers?
Unbelievable.
And his numbers since he's been to Houston are unbelievable.
Yeah, he's reborn.
You remember 2 years ago, everyone was like, yeah, he's kind of done.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of baked.
Yep, the velocity was down. But now he's...
But it was just down because he was coming back from injury and it just hadn't fully gotten... And now he's just like the best pitcher in baseball.
Right. And
by the numbers.
And the Tigers are kind of like, wow, we could have got more for this guy. What did we do?
They got a solid return, though, I think.
They did.
They didn't get like... I mean, they got rid of that contract. That was the
big albatross for them.
Yeah, that was the big.
And problem. Now they only have one albatross.
And he's hungry.
Yes.
That's Miguel Cabrera for those.
So
Victor Martinez is kind of an albatross, isn't he? Why didn't he just go away?
This is his last season. They've already been talking about retirement. He's already been talking about retirement. So
well, why not just retire now? He's batting like .230, something like that, hitting a 650 OPS.
It's one of those situations where, you know, it's like us normal folk that work the 9-to-5 work environment, and we're just kind of like coasting. We're like, I get the paycheck. I don't have to do a lot of work. Nobody's on my back. I'm just going to take it easy. And when I get bored, I'll leave.
Yeah.
Not that we can just retire when we're 39 years old, but. So let's see, Indians. I didn't even know Cabrera was with the Indians. So he was.
You
in
know
their
what?
Farm
I didn't
system.
Know either until he was called up. I do know that he had been looking for a contract for. He had a solid year last year, but no one wanted him. Maybe because of the steroids,
right?
That he got involved in or whatever. But just sort of like, this is why. You know, it's funny. We're talking about the Mariners and they traded. Tyler O'Neill for Marco Gonzalez, is that who it was? Who's pitching very nicely for the Mariners right now. Lefty, kind of a junk ball lefty guy. But this is why you can give away a guy like Tyler O'Neill, who's doing very well for the Cardinals so far and in the minor leagues and now. But they're just not the players, those players, that player, the hitting corner outfielder, is so undervalued right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Melky Cabrera didn't even get a major league deal. He had to bang it out in the minor leagues for 2 months waiting for an opening with the Indians. Well, that's how bad the injury situation is with the Indians. They just called up Melky Cabrera.
Let's move on. This was a pretty big story. I think we mentioned this a couple weeks back that Rafael Palmeiro was going to be giving it another shot, wanted to prove himself at age 53.
And we all laughed, John.
And we all laughed, and gosh darn it, guy can still hit.
He hit a home run.
Yeah. For the Cleburne Railroaders. Cleburne? Am I saying that right, Cleburne?
I have no idea.
So yeah, 53 years old.
Yeah.
And he was serious about the comeback. He was serious that, you know, he still got something left in the tank. But, you know, hitting a home run, you know, 53 years old, that's cool. But hitting a home run doesn't mean he's ready to suit up on the major league diamond.
Yeah, also, isn't that the exact position we're talking about? Like DH?
Right.
Yeah. No one needs that.
Nobody needs that.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to be around.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to the next one. The Yankees. Yeah. The Yankees, after their rainout fiasco in Washington, wound up having to spend the night at Dulles Airport.
Yeah, so they were playing a game, and it got suspended halfway through, right?
Mm-hmm.
With a rare suspension and not canceled,
right?
Or called, right? Because it was a tie game. And so then they didn't even get it. They were supposed to pick it up the next day and then play the next game, and those got washed out. And then when they went to get out of D.C., drain the swamp, if you will, of themselves, because of the rain and the weather, which I'm just going to call the Wayne from now on, the rain and the weather and some mechanical difficulties, they never took off. I mean, they eventually took off, I should say, but they didn't take off till the next day.
Right.
Otherwise, they'd still be in Washington right now. I assume they could walk back fast enough.
Take the train.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the saga. Speaking of players who don't have a position in baseball anymore, Jose Bautista signed with the Braves minor league, called up.
Yeah.
Did good, I think, in his first game.
He wound up hitting a home run at some point.
Yeah, he did. He did have a home. I think he might have two home runs, but he was not performing. They let him go. Mets sign.
Yeah, no, like he was let go, and then like the next day was with the Mets and played.
Yeah. Good to be loved.
It is good to be loved.
It is interesting, though, as a player like him, though, who was anticipating the huge contract, got $17 million last year, and then nothing this year. And
right.
Yeah.
But also, like, he was really, really bad last year and should have just retired. You know, like, sometimes you need to... It wasn't like he was like, oh, he wasn't that good. He was really, really bad.
And he was playing third base for the Braves, too.
Well, that was the thing, right? Like, they didn't really need an outfielder, but they did kind of need a third baseman because they're waiting for Austin Riley to be something. Maybe they just didn't want four 20-year-olds up at the...
right. And was he playing third base or outfield for the Mets?
Outfield. Okay. Outfield. They have an outfield problem in the Mets. So,
yeah, the Mets, another team that, you know, people are like, oh, if their pitching comes through, they'll be a good team, and their pitching hasn't come through.
Yeah.
And they're not a good team, not as good as they were expected to be. Yeah. But they've,
well, they started off really well, but I think they, you know, they've had some injuries to the starting rotation.
Yep.
Of course, Matt Harvey, they had to dump him, and yeah, it's. I think it's still a team. The problem is that they're so left-handed, and I think you can't build a team to be that left-handed.
Right.
They're just too left-handed. That's what they needed Bautista for. Like he's actually an improvement for them, and he's terrible.
Speaking of Harvey, though, he had a pretty good outing last week.
He had a very good outing against the Dodgers, but that was while they were in the middle of their, shoots
slump.
And ladders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, I mean, they pitched him. Then the next time he went out, I think he pitched like four innings or something like that. And I mean, I still think there's a great pitcher in there, and I wish he would relent and just go to the bullpen.
Yeah. He would be a dominant
and just
closer.
Say, I'm going to be the next Eric Gagne. Like Eric Gagne started off as a starting pitcher and wanted to be a starting pitcher. And then was like, you know what? I'm just going to be a closer, and I'm going to gack up on the steroids, and I'm just going to throw this Bugs Bunny changeup that no one can hit, this video game changeup. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be basically the best closer in the history of baseball for about a three-year period until my body starts falling apart from all the steroid cycling. Allegedly.
The Eric Gagne story.
Yes, the Eric Gagne story. As told by Jed Rigney, Eric Gagne fan.
He was.
I mean, he was so amazing. It was.
So good.
I've never seen at Dodger Stadium. Now I missed the whole Fernando Mania thing, but I never saw like what Eric Gagne brought to the team. I've never seen that, and I'm not since and not before. Again, it was even more. It was even more than Nomo, because like Nomo would come out and like sometimes he was good and sometimes he was. But Gagne would come out and he would, you know, 98 and then change up at 83 that made people look ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And, the buckling knees, and people just got so excited. And what did he have, like 80 saves in a row, something like that?
Yeah, it was dominant.
Yeah.
And he did the old try to come back.
Yeah, after, but without the steroids, it's a lot harder. It's kind
of tough, yeah.
I mean, no offense, maybe allegedly, right?
Right, allegedly.
But whatever.
So I see this. I know nothing about this story. I know you probably know just the headline, but the city council in Atlantic City voted to bring baseball back. What does that mean? They want to have a team there?
They're going to try to set up having a minor league team there.
Okay.
So I think part of because Atlantic City's gone down the toilet, right?
Yeah.
But they're hoping that with this new sports betting that they're allowed to do, that's going to bring in some more tourists and bring more money and more. And then also they want to put a minor league baseball team. They're trying to become an affiliate for someone.
Do they have a stadium?
I don't know what their stadium situation is. I read part of the article, but I didn't. That's a good question. That's a question I should have asked myself as I was reading it. Let me send a message to Randall Stevens and see if he knows. See if he knows.
He may be still sleeping, though.
He's a knowledgeable guy.
Yeah, he is. He knows his stuff. You know, speaking of stadium situations, the Mariners signed yesterday a 25-year extension to stay in Seattle, which is, I guess, good news, considering that they have a pretty nice stadium here. So that's just a passing note.
Nice.
For all you stadium update fans.
Yeah. That's a nice stadium, though.
It's a beautiful stadium. One of my favorites.
I went there the opening year, and that is a nice stadium. That is a well-conceived stadium.
It's a great location. It has a vibrant atmosphere on game day, which is always cool. That's part of the experience for me. And, I mean, I've been to quite a few of the stadiums. San Francisco's is awesome. Colorado's is another great one. Petco is great. That downtown kind of atmosphere. Dodger Stadium is just immense, but it's outside of the city. It's not it is urban, but it's not.
Yeah, it's outside the city, but it's within the city.
Right. But it's not that, you have to kind of get to it to feel it, as opposed to on game day. It's not like a bunch of people are walking, because to walk to that park, you got to go up a huge hill. Although people do. That one time that I went there, I saw a ton of people parking way down the street and walking like a mile and a half, 2 miles up to the ravine. The Pittsburgh, another awesome park. All of these newer, older looking stadiums that I love the fact that they did that, as opposed to the cookie cutter stadiums that they used to have, like Three Rivers, Veterans, what was the other, in Cincinnati. Those three stadiums were the exact same stadium, basically.
Right. So I got a message back from Randall here.
Oh, okay.
He says that they do have a stadium. It's called Surf Stadium.
They're going to put some money into it?
I assume they have to fix it up. He says it hasn't been used in 10 years. God, but it's only a 20-year-old stadium. Yeah, no, he's
on the ball.
He's on the ball.
You might have to give him a raise.
Guy knows baseball, man.
Yeah, he knows baseball. That's why he's writing for us.
Yeah.
Thanks for pitching in there, Randall. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So Carson Smith, this is one of those boner moves. Dislocated his shoulder, throwing his glove.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't quite Ken Giles punching himself in the face, which is one of the great memes of all time now.
Yeah. And that was spread like wildfire within 24 hours. That was everywhere.
It was pretty amazing.
But is he on the DL?
Yeah. Carson Smith is. Yeah.
And this was after a performance in game, or was it?
Yeah.
So he's walking into the dugout, throws his glove into the back.
Players get upset.
And managers and GMs and owners hate it when assets do stupid things like fall downstairs or slip in the shower or cut their hand carving.
Assets. You make it sound like he's Jason Bourne.
Pieces of meat. They're pawns in the game. Highly paid pawns, but pawns in the game. Lenny Dykstra. Tell me about this story. Arrested for threatening an Uber driver.
So it's pretty great. So he's gets in this Uber, right, and then decides he wants to change the location that he's going to, and the Uber driver won't do it. So what do you do if you're Lenny Dykstra, former Phillies legendary baseball player? You pull your gun out, and you put it to the driver's head, and you get in an argument with him.
Wow.
Yes. Then when you get arrested for this action, because this is an illegal action, You have upon your body marijuana, cocaine, and ecstasy.
Oh, he's a party in motion.
Though the cops did not find the gun.
Oh, so what was it, finger to the head type of thing?
I mean, it may have been a carrot. You know, who knows? It's Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah, so there's the Lenny Dykstra side of the story, and then there's the driver side of the story.
Right.
So the driver...
the Lenny Dykstra side had cocaine, marijuana, and ecstasy on his person.
Well, I saw a quote that you had in this week's newsletter from Dykstra.
Yeah, our newsletter, which you can sign up for at our site. It's The Box Score. It's the week in baseball, and so you know, just some news from stories from the world of baseball, plus a quote of the week.
What was the quote? Was great.
Yeah, it was from Lenny Dykstra. We had put this up before this story came out, so we didn't think anything of it. And afterwards, I was like, "Nah, what was that quote?" It was a fun one. It was like he was thanking the Mexican cartel, a drug lord who taught him or turned him on to reading,
right? While in jail or something like that.
Yeah, while he was in jail. Yeah,
he's giving back.
Yeah,
props for the people who helped him get where he is just, today.
Exactly, a little respect for his. His elders or something.
Nails, we love you.
Oh my.
You're better post baseball career than you were during it.
Wow.
For the conversation side for. Okay, let's move on to that wraps up headlines. We're going to go with starting nine. For Memorial Day, nine players with American War names. And that's not war as in the baseball statistic.
No. I mean, yeah, you know, in a way, they all have war because they're baseball players.
Right, they do.
So this is for, in honor of the soldiers who fought and in all the wars. I think before we've done, like, famous military people or whatever. So Memorial Day, players with war names.
Not American War or war names?
Of course, all American. Okay. All these wars are wars that America was involved in.
Okay.
You're not going to see any Franco-Prussian players in here, you know?
Okay, good. We don't want to confuse people.
Yeah. This is about America and Memorial Day and all that stuff.
Got it.
All right, start it off. Francisco Civili War. okay. These are all amazing, by the way.
Okay.
I want you to know these are all. I love every one of these.
Okay.
Next up, Colton World War Wong.
That may be the best one ever.
All right, Mickey World War Matuk. Corey N. Kluber War.
Corey N. Kluber War. Okay.
Yeah. Nick Pivetta Nam War. And then there's the Trevor Lucius Story War. Which looks a lot more like Revolutionary War.
Than it sounds.
And I apologize for that one.
I got it.
The War of 1812 is Andrews.
12.
It's 12-us.
Oh, you're right. These are all good. I got tears in my eyes.
Brian Mick American Indian Wars.
Okay.
That's a bunch of wars. That's when
Yeah,
systematically wiped out
an entire race
almost. Of people. Yeah. We're working on it. We're almost there. Malexican Smith American War.
Good.
Mexican American War. Jorge Galfaro War. And changing gears a little bit here for the war on drugs, I've got Robinson Cano. And of course, the greatest war of all, Mike Trout's 2018 season.
Very nice. That was great. I like that. You kind of played with that a little bit. But the World War Wong, that's the best ever.
Yeah, it was great. Pivetta Nam was my other. And 12-us Andrew, I guess.
12-us is good. I like 12-us. Yeah. And Kluber was good. The Korean War, that one was good.
I mean, they're all really good. That's the thing.
But you must have been giggling as you were writing.
No, it was a really great experience. Yeah. Sometimes these are really tedious, and other times it's like, no, this is great.
No, that was a good one. That was good. So we're doing, we did the in or out before, didn't we? Once before.
I don't know if we've done
like that.
What's like a variation of?
If we move through this relatively quick.
I mean, this is like, we can't say who we're doing in and out. So who's in and out of the playoffs at this point? We can't really say who's in, right? I think at this point we can really say who's out.
Yeah. The borderline territory is there's only a handful of teams in the borderline area right now, but there's teams that are, you know, playing for next season or later.
Right.
Yeah.
So easy, hard out, Baltimore Orioles.
Yes, absolutely.
So moving on to the Central Division, American League Central, Royals, White Sox, hard out.
Absolutely.
Detroit Tigers, also hard out. I got to do it.
Okay.
The thing is, they got those wins against White Sox and the Royals. Like, you can't count those as actual wins.
That's true.
Rangers, hard out.
Yep. Biggest disappointment, I think, in the American League was the Rangers, how they kind of really haven't done anything.
Yeah, but the terrible home record for them.
Yeah, 9-17. Yeah. That's pretty bad.
I mean, they just had one of those things where it's like, they're not that good, but things have just really fallen apart for them. I mean, they have a minus 59 run differential. And we said at the beginning of the season, the starting pitching was going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. And no doubt. Have they given up the most runs in baseball? 275?
Yep. Yeah.
Most runs in baseball.
Kansas City and them.
Yeah. Tied with Kansas City, yeah.
Wow. Not good.
But that's what happens when you have terrible pitching. You
well, when one of your better pitchers is Bartolo Colon,
yeah,
that's saying a lot.
And there's rumors that they might trade Hamels, you know, which would be very smart for the team to do. They should absolutely do it. But then, can you imagine how bad that team is?
All right.
Whew. I mean, they might just get worse and worse. But you know what? When you're bad, just sell pieces off, man. They have a good core, I think, with Gallo and.
Right now,
Mazzara.
There's seven teams that could lose 100 games this season. That's crazy.
It's intense.
Yeah.
It's intense. All right, moving on to the National League, hard outs. Marlins, obviously, out.
What about AL West?
Yeah, no, just the Rangers.
Just the Rangers. Oh, yeah, you did mention the Rangers. Yeah, sorry about
just
that.
Just the Rangers. Mm-hmm. I feel the Athletics are not in the playoffs, but they have a winning record. Yeah. So they're doing something right.
They've been a surprise.
They're not in, but they're not out.
Right. They're borderline.
I don't know.
We
have to come up with like a limbo thing. They're not in and out. They're Five Guys. They're Whataburger.
Boy, you're quick.
Which, by the way, I had my first Whataburger. Or what? Whataburger? Whataburger? I want to call it Whataburger for some reason.
Was it good?
And it's tasty. Yeah. In-N-Out's better, but. And Five Guys is better.
Five Guys is awesome.
But it's good. It was a good burger. Like, it felt fresh. It felt like a Burger King Whopper, but fresh.
That's not exactly a ringing endorsement for the Burger King.
No. Like, that's like the Burger King Whopper is a great idea for a burger.
I think it is. I like it. I've always loved it.
It's poorly executed.
Yeah, that would be it looks good on TV. It looks delicious on TV.
Yes. And that's more like what a burger is tastes like. Mm-hmm. It actually tasted good.
Well, looking forward to trying one someday.
Yeah, you should. It's definitely worth trying. It's a good burger.
The In-N-Outs are all over LA, right?
Yeah, it started in Southern California. I think it's spreading, but it's definitely Southern California.
Well, we have Dick's Burgers here. Dick's. it's a joke out here. Yes, I'd love some Dick's right now.
Yeah, man.
I want to
put some dicks in my mouth.
They're delicious. You probably would have more than one.
I can't imagine that's all I would do, John, I would make jokes about that if I lived up there.
Yeah,
I can't move to Seattle now.
Yeah, they have I think five or six different locations.
Wait, they have five or six dicks up there?
Yep.
I would figure there's a lot more dicks up there than five or six.
So all of our Seattle listeners are getting a chuckle out of this. The other people are like, what? Really? Dick's Burgers? Yeah. And up until recently, you had to pay cash for Dick's.
That's pretty standard.
Just leave it on the table.
It is usually a cash-only transaction.
Oh boy, we're losing control.
Okay, what were we doing?
We were in the American or National League. Yeah, In and Out.
Right.
National okay. League.
In and Out. Right. National League. Right. Marlins definitely out. Marlins definitely out. I think all the National League East are. Look at that. The Mets still have a winning record. Good for them.
Yeah, I would say they're all in the hunt, but it's gonna by the time I would say by the end of July we'll know who's risen to the top of that. If the Braves are still there, that's a great story for baseball.
I mean, look, I'm not a Braves fan or anything, but what an exciting group of players.
Yeah.
And it's so great, especially in this day and age where there's so much prospect enthusiasm, to have these top prospects coming and coming and coming. And here they are, and they finally show up, and they actually perform. You know, it's really great. We haven't even mentioned Ronald Acuña, who's not been amazing, but who's been very good.
For a kid,
especially, but very good for a rookie. Very good. Like, that's a very good player. That's
only
an exciting
get
team.
Consistency, you know, he'll get better. So who else we got?
So the Reds, hard out.
Hard out, yep. That's hard about out. It, though, right there.
And then the Padres are hard out.
Yeah.
But the, in the Central is, again, all winning records. Except for the Reds, which we talked about at the beginning of the season. I don't think I thought the Reds would be this bad, though. But maybe we overestimated, or I overestimated, their pitching. Yeah, look at that, 257 runs allowed. That's the most in the National League. Surprised to see the Padres with 235 runs allowed with that stadium of theirs that doesn't really do that. Padres are a hard out, and I feel like the Giants are teetering on hard out.
They're rising to their low levels.
Yeah, like they're 24-26, but with a negative 36 run differential.
But Madison Bumgarner's coming back,
and that could help.
Week. Yeah,
that could help. You know, still have all those other players on there, and then maybe, you know, the who's the guy at first there that
for the Giants?
Brandon Belt, who this is the first year I haven't had him on any of my fantasy baseball teams, and of course. He's got 10 home runs. He's hitting for average and on base. And anyway, it's he's finally being that player that people thought he could be. But I think he'll regress a little bit. And I think the Diamondbacks are still good. But I don't think the Rockies are 26-24. Look at their run differential, minus 28. That's just stupid luck. 19-13 on the road, that's just stupid luck.
Yeah.
You'll see the Rockies drop down to third place easily by the end of July.
I don't know. We'll see.
In that division, I mean.
Hey, the Padres are still in the hunt.
No, they're not, John.
5.5 games out.
Yeah, but they're 21-30.
But the Dodgers are 22-27.
Okay,
Dodgers
but then the Miami Marlins are still in the hunt, John. Is that what we're going to do?
No, I'm just saying, no, not okay. really. They're, what, 10-plus games out. Yeah, no, I'm just saying that division, place, everybody's losing.
But you're talking about first place. I'm talking about playoffs.
Right.
Wild card.
Right. Yeah. So, 5.5 games out if they
the
were
Padres
there.
Are out, dude.
I know. I'm not saying
they're
that they're
out.
I'm not saying that they're going to make it, but right
you
now.
You said they're in the hunt. That
right
is
now,
crazy talk.
Right now, based on, you know, how bad that division is, they're in the hunt. The fact that the Dodgers are 5 games under and in the hunt. Or only a weekend series sweep of being, you know, in first place. You know, half a game out. But, yeah, it's just.
No, the Dodgers still have a long way to go to fix what happened to them over the last 2 weeks. But,
yeah.
Long way to go.
No, I'm with you.
What else we got?
We got extra innings.
All right. Let's do extra innings.
Yeah, let's take a look outside of what's going on in baseball. Extra innings.
Yeah.
NFL, this was big news yesterday.
Yes.
And I think the way that it's been treated by the headline writers and the talking heads on TV was they didn't really do justice to the whole description and the whole memo that came out. All they focused on is that players have to stand.
Right.
Yeah, but they can stay in the locker room if they want. Teams can have their own. I mean, there's no mandatory that you have to be on the field and you have to stand. So there will be a lot of players that will decide to stay indoors and no big deal.
Right.
So I don't think it's as big of a story as they're making it out to be, although there will be some controversy, and I'm sure some teams are going to be like, well, if we're going to get penalized, let's just make sure that every team has a couple of players that kneel. And right. then those offsetting penalties, they don't serve a purpose. There'll be some sort of be some sort of controversy and flack.
I mean, here's the thing. People are trying to treat this like it's a First Amendment issue. Like, these are employees for a company.
Right.
If the guy at Starbucks decides that he wants to do something to in protest, the company has every right to fine him or suspend him or fire him.
Right.
Like, these are employees. They are paid employees. They're not their own separate companies. They're not. They are individuals, of course, but they're. This is what I don't like about this is, like, if the company doesn't want him to do it, then he can't do it. Like, people get fired with conservative viewpoints because they have conservative viewpoints at liberal companies.
No.
I swear it's happened.
Wow, I always thought it was just the other way around.
I mean, it is the other way around.
No, it goes both ways. I'm just kidding.
It goes both ways. Like, it's so crazy. It's like, well, can't we just decide that a person can have an opinion, and as long as they don't mess up work, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys are at work.
Right.
Literally, these people have the power to go out after the game and give any kind of message they want.
Well, the bigger thing, I think, is the world that we live in is that there's us versus them on both sides. And therefore, it's like, how do we, from a PR perspective, land somewhere in the middle? And I think that's what the NFL was trying to do with this. Because up until, 2009, nobody came out of the locker room before the national anthem. And then they were like, oh, to honor our soldiers, we're going to do this. And everybody was into it. And then it turned into what it is today. So now
also there's a weird, like, the military is an advertiser.
Right.
For,
so they're paying for it. Right.
So it's a little strange.
Yeah. It's like, we have to do this because we're shills for the military.
But then wait a minute. If the military is advertising, that means they're paying money to the NFL.
Right.
And the NFL is paying that money to whom?
The players.
Right. So I don't want to see some quarterback making $28 million a year and then some complaint about, like, oh, well, you know, we can't do this for, like, no, you do this for your company and the company's advertisers.
Right. It's still going to be a story for the armchair fan because they're going to now nitpick and say who was in the locker room.
Yeah.
You know, who didn't come out? You know, they're we're going to protest that. So I wonder if all these people who said they would never watch another NFL football game if players knelt down.
I mean, the ratings were down, John, and the ticket sales were down.
Right, but like, I'm wondering if those people will come back if certain players stay in the locker room. Is that still considered a form of protest? That's what the NFL's hoping. Well, no, but I'm just saying that, you know, would people then consider that the form of protest?
It's hard for me to even imagine not watching football because someone's kneeling. It's honestly, like, as offensive as that may or may not be, I just have a problem. Like, all right, well, so that guy, if I thought it was super offensive, which is kind of offensive to me, because it's like, hey, you're supposed to be doing this for the military. Okay, so if that's what you're doing it for, then okay, fine. I am not at all brave enough to be a guy who would put on the gear and go fight for democracy anywhere else other than, like, at the United Market across the street.
Right.
And I just want to make sure that no one cuts in line in front of me. You know what I mean? Like, that's my level of bravery.
Right. You wouldn't have never fought in World War Wong.
No. World War Wong? No. Nor the Korean Kluber, which some people call a conflict and not a war. Right. So, you know, whatever. It's a weird thing. But here's the thing. If you're being a jerk, then just, like, okay, you're just being a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And your boss has the right to reprimand you for being a jerk. That's all.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting. It'll stay in the headlines because the talking heads and the writers will place it there and social media will go haywire. So we'll see.
I mean, the weird thing about it is that, A, it costs Colin Kaepernick work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's in a weird position where he's basically been told, like, if you're going to keep doing that, you're not going to sign with a team.
Right.
That's a little weird to me. But at the same time, like, maybe a team just doesn't want to lose ticket sales.
Right.
Maybe they just don't want to lose money by signing a player. So the principles of it all and the morality and stuff, it's all a very gray area, and it's weird to me that the players would insist on this right when it's clearly creating an upset amongst their fans, which is literally costing the teams money, which will only affect
them
players
in the wallet. Right. Later.
Yeah, like,
once it hits
the
them in the
negotiation
wallet,
session,
it'll be different.
It's going to be like, oh, well, yeah, we didn't make as much money because you guys were kneeling, so you're going to get less money in the next deal, even though there's more money than anyone could ever do with anything. So
right. Right. So on to my favorite story of the year in sports. Yes. The Golden Knights reaching the Stanley Cup in a dominant fashion. This
now,
is
now, John. I'm a little bit behind on hockey. Where did the Golden Knights come from? Are they what team did they used to be before this year?
They didn't exist. They're
they
brand
didn't
new.
Exist, John.
Yeah,
but first, how could they be in the Stanley Cup?
It could never happen in any other sport. Apparently, this
it's
is
kind of incredible.
It is a bunch of cast-offs from teams. They're kind of like, well, we won't protect this player. You can draft from this pool, and every single player that is on the Vegas Knights, Golden Knights, is from a cast-off from another team. And this, you know, band of brothers is keeping in the war theme.
I mean, this is a bad
dominant.
Movie.
It's a bad.
Like, this is a generic movie. Like, you're
right.
Cast-offs.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Right. We saw Major League already. All right. Right. Okay. Yeah. And Kim Basinger. Yeah. Not Kim Basinger. Tom Berenger.
Just either or. That would be a really bad movie if it was Kim Basinger.
Wow. You know what? I'm not even going to finish that rant just because, wow. Kim Basinger, Tom Berenger. You know what? I think I need a little bit more coffee. Or I'm hungry. That's what it is. Yeah. I'm going to blame hunger.
Could be hungry. Yeah. Let's go.
Well, it's
that.
1 o'clock.
Yeah, it's
here.
A great it's story. Like, they're already in. They're sitting back now waiting for last night was the Game 7 in the Eastern Conference. And I was expecting it to be a really close, tight game, and you know, especially with Tampa Bay at home and 4-0 whitewashing. Washington finally gets back to the Stanley Cup Finals after a 20-year absence.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see because everybody's kind of like on the Ovechkin bandwagon that, you know, he deserves to win the Stanley Cup. But I think there's a lot of people rooting for the upstart Knights to do it too.
Also, I think that in hockey, more than any other sport, I think 7 games affects the team's ability to keep playing more than, like, the rested team, I think, has a decided advantage in hockey.
I agree with that.
I think the Bruins, I thought, were better than the Lightning this year. But the Bruins were just exhausted. They played an intense schedule down the stretch, and they played 7 games in there, and they just got up against the Lightning. It was just like, we're just exhausted. We can't we can't beat these guys. And the Lightning had the full rest. And I think the Bruins had a chance to close out in 5, but then had to messed up and then wound up having to stretch out to 7. But game those 7. Extra days off, man. Yeah.
Nothing like a game 7, though, even though last night's I didn't see it, but it was wasn't a close game. But game 7's, everything's on the line.
Yeah, but now the Caps are played 7 games, and now they're going to be more tired than this, you know, ragtag group of misfits, the Golden Knights, you know.
Yeah, only played 5, so they get a little bit of advantage going in, and if it goes 7... I think I'm kind of thinking that the Knights have a little bit of an advantage on their side going in, but we'll see. It should be a good Stanley Cup final for sure.
Yeah.
Doc Rivers agrees for a contract extension with the Clippers. It's a little surprising. I kind of thought he was getting over. Thought he was getting towards the end of his
coaching
career.
Have the Clippers not heard that he's actually not very good? You know what it is? As a coach, he suddenly discovered the ability to have Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce on his team.
Yeah, and that helps.
And then he won a championship with that team and then lost a championship the next year to a Lakers team that was not as good, but who somehow, you know, kind of lucked their way through, what was that, 2010, right? Whatever. And then Doc Rivers has basically turned that one championship into like, no, and now he's the GM and the manager. Like, yeah, extend him out. And you know what? Give him ownership shares. Yeah, you know what? Let him play also. Why not?
Yeah, because they're not that good now that they got rid of CP3 and Blake Griffin.
This is going to be a bad Clippers team.
Yeah.
They had the pieces and it just didn't quite work out. And there were also the Warriors and they just didn't do it, and now they've just got Doc Rivers running this sinking ship. And as a Laker fan myself, I think it was a fantastic move by the Clippers.
Right, fantastic. Works for us. You're looking forward to the end of the season as a Lakers fan, right?
Yeah. So we can get LeBron James and Paul George signed. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, and I think LeBron will have plenty to think about because I think his 8-year run of playing in the finals is going to be over this year. I'll be shocked if they can come back the Celtics are 10-0 at home in the playoffs this year.
Right.
So I would be very surprised if, even if Cleveland wins game six, which they very well should and could, I don't think they can beat them in a game seven in Boston Garden.
I mean, I hope the Cavaliers, I was about to say Indians. I hope Tom Berenger finds a way to win. Move on to the next thing.
Okay, the next two things are all you.
Yes.
Because I know nothing about either one, other than that,
yes,
that the royal wedding happened. I don't know anything, yes, about it. Before that, Kevin Federline's in the news. There's a name I haven't heard in like seven, 8 years.
And America's royalty, Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
So Federline's lawyer wants more child support, which you got to assume he's already getting like a really good amount of child support.
Those kids are doing very well.
Right. But here's the trick to child support is if your spouse makes more money than you, quit your job and don't work. Because if you work, you actually get penalized on the child support.
Hmm. So just take care of those kids.
That's a great system, by the way. Like, I know it's done to protect people who are but it's become such a ridiculous system that people who can work
don't
are incentivized to not work because the difference is just covered by the child support.
Mm-hmm. So Kevin's just cracking beers and watching the kids.
Like,
and the kids aren't young anymore, are they?
To live the dream. That's all the child support he should have gotten. He's right. The child.
Right.
Maybe that's what he needs. He's a little support.
Sounds
for
like it. Sounds like it. Yeah. So this is in the works right now.
Yeah. So my guess is that, you know, whatever, he'll wind up with a little bit more because all you have to do is, it's like, it's not even like the lawyer thinks. It's like, look, the lawyer demands to see the income, blah, 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 of the spouses, and then they go to the judge and it's all mathematical and they just run the numbers.
Yeah.
And she's probably still making a bazillion dollars because she's amazing. She's Britney Spears.
Isn't she doing like a Vegas residency? Didn't she do
that? Exactly. Yeah, and she's doing like The Voice or the X Factor or the America's Got Talent,
Before,
or America's Funniest Home Videos, or whatever it is she's doing. America's Famous, Too Much Cocaine.
And finally, last but not least, the royal wedding.
Yes.
So I was away in L.A. shooting a documentary film, and I get a text from my wife saying, hey, I got up early this morning to watch the royal wedding. I knew that it was coming up. I didn't know when it was, but apparently a lot of people did that.
Yeah, all over the country, the United States, and all over the world. It's strange how fascinated Americans are by this. I mean, maybe it's sort of like, you know, since we kicked England's butt.
Right.
It's a little like, it's like our, you know, we feel bad for them or something.
So
you should love royals.
Doing? What are they doing over there? Let's take a look. Let's look in. Let's take a peek at the royals.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I really could care less about that whole thing.
Yeah, it's obviously not interesting to me, but we were traveling and we were in a hotel the night we're watching all the stuff. And the thing that was amazing was, first of all, the amount of coverage is so far beyond. It's just a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wedding. The thing that was amazing was we wound up watching and out of just shock and surprise and horror, a reenactment of them.
What?
Of Harry and Meghan, is that her name?
Yeah, Meghan Markle.
Yeah. And Harry, and it was like these two actors that looked kind of like them. And it was like this sort of like fan fiction of like what it was like for them and meet and talk about getting married. And it was so strange.
But you watched it.
Well, I watched it because it was on.
And you were in a hotel room.
And we were in a hotel room, but it was more just like I was watching it out of, like, there are people who are watching that like, wow, yeah, that's what I imagine too. We were watching it like, wow, there's people out there watching this. And then at a certain point, we just got creeped out and was like, this is weird, and we turned it off.
Yeah.
But yeah, massive coverage all day Saturday into Sunday.
But it started, I guess, 5 a.m., I think.
Yeah.
It was on West Coast time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the royals.
And now they're married.
Yeah, now they're married. And now we have nothing to look forward to except for kids. So what's coming up next?
What's going to happen on the big day? What special message does Eric Hosmer have for them? What will Ned Yost be wearing? Get caught up on the latest scoop on the next episode of The Royals Wedding.